Outreach Conference Center, where we believe that one word from God can revolutionize your life. We pray that as you listen, you will gain a new dimension of faith and hope that will arise to obtain the purpose God has for you. Be blessed.
New aspect of the structure and the system of the kingdom. And what we did, we called it the it factor. Somebody say the it factor. Say the it factor again. I need you to know that, how would I put it? Everyone has it in him, but everyone does not use it. It is talent, ability, capabilities, the resources and the abilities of God. And when God first began to deal with me, he said, look up the word it. And I'm gonna give you the definition. That which answers exactly which one is looking for. That which answers exactly what someone is looking for. That which answers what God is looking for. I told you that God releases it in you when you are faced with a problem, when you are faced with a situation, when you are faced with dire circumstances, and you're looking all around and you want to know the answer. It is in you. The answer is in you. So what am I saying? I'm saying, before your mother met your father and your grandmother met your grandfather, outside of time, God gave you every answer to every problem. He gave you every ability that you needed. He equipped you with everything that you needed to answer the cares and the distresses of life. So it means that which exactly answers what someone is looking for. We all have it. You can write it down. And in actuality, we are all given it to answer someone else's it. Now, I need you to follow me real carefully, because at the close of this service, God is going to punch you in your stomach, and he's going to stir the it in you, and some of you, he's going to rebuke you because you have not using what he's already given you, and you are begging him to give you more, and he's saying, well, what are you talking about? I've already given you exactly what you are looking for. Go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. The first through the 14th verse. That is not what I am looking for. No, the 22nd chapter of Matthew. I'm sorry. It says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, and one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. When the king heard therefore thereof, he was wroth, and he was sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then said he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So these servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither and not have a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into other darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, you see here, and I want to take my time, we have a group of people that are invited by the king, or invited by a man for a wedding, and the man represents God, and they are too busy to come in. Sometimes you are too busy to accept the invitation of God. Write that down. And they did not think that it was a big deal. So he goes out, and he says, call those into the wedding. He said, go out to the highways and byways. He said, and call those into the wedding, good and bad, respectful and not respectful. And when he called the people in, he does not have a seat left in the house. The host of the wedding is going through the wedding party. And he looks at this man, and this man does not have a wedding garment on. And he asked the man, why do you not have a wedding garment on? And the man was speechless. He could not answer. Now, let me explain what I am saying. When in biblical times, when you were invited to a wedding, if you did not own a wedding garment, the host of the wedding would supply what you need. Because in biblical times, when you had a wedding, you had to be dressed appropriately. You had to be dressed according to the wedding, according to the nationality, according to the financial status of the host or the father of the bride. And so this man is invited to this wedding. He's pulled off the street. And everybody that was pulled off the street with him had on a wedding garment but him. The Bible says that when the man asked him, why do you not have a wedding garment on? The man, number one, was there to participate. Write this down. But he did not take advantage, and I'm going to take my time, of what was provided for him. I need you to write in your notes what was provided. Now, notice what I told you. I said that whenever anyone was invited to a wedding in biblical times, the host would provide the garment. Everybody in the wedding party had a garment but this one man. This man was invited to the wedding. He supposedly wanted to be in the wedding, but he was too lazy, too uncaring, too lackadaisical to receive what the host had provided. You can write this down. He did not refuse the invitation, number one. He participated briefly in the celebration of the wedding, number two, until the host of the wedding found out that he did not have a garment. But he did not take advantage, right? Somebody say advantage. He did not take advantage of what the host provided for, and it looked like the host was real mean because the host turns around and he cast him into hell. Now, the point I am trying to make is this. When you come into the kingdom of God, you think that everything you need is outside of you. But in actuality, everything you need is inside of you. It is called the it factor. But if you don't take advantage of everything that God gives you, then you are doomed and you are judged by God. Because what God is actually saying to you is, don't you dare tell me you don't have this. Don't you dare tell me you cannot do this. Don't you dare tell me you cannot accomplish this. Don't you dare tell me this is too hard for you. Don't you understand that I provided this for you outside of time? Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. He could not fully participate, write down the word fully participate, in the wedding because he had not accepted what the host had already provided for. It was available to him. I need you to hear these key words. I don't have to go to Milwaukee so I can take my time. Here, he did not participate. He did not accept what was already made available. Write the word down, available. He didn't use what he already had. He didn't care or he didn't bother to make use of what the host was giving him. And now, wait a minute. And when the host came around to inspect all of the wedding participants, he gets to the man and the man does not have on the garment. And he says, sir, why don't you have this particular garment on? And the man was speechless. I need to ask you a question. When God asks you, how come you have not done what I've told you to do? How come you have not risen to the level that I have called you to rise to? How come you have not used every talent, ability, capability, and resource to get what you have, to get what you need in this life? I will guarantee you that each and every one of you have no excuse. You will be speechless. Because whenever someone provides something for you, and you have not taken advantage of what that person has provided, you have no excuse for your failure. You have no excuse for your financial dilemma. You have no excuse for your appetite, your lust, your desires that are out of whack, because it has already been provided for you. So let's go back to the it factor. The it factor, and the definition of it says that which is given, or that which is exactly what one is looking for. So what God is saying, he says everything in you is the it factor. He said, but it must be you to take advantage of what I have made available. If you don't take advantage of what I have made available, even though you have it, you cannot use it, because it will not be productive unless you clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Now, something is added again. It says, many are called, what, and few are chosen. I'm going to get to that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, wait a minute. The man did not take advantage of what he needed to become oh, my God. The man did not, wait a minute. He's in the wedding. He's a part of the wedding party. You're in the church. So-called, you've accepted Jesus. The man is in the wedding. He's already sitting at the table, but he does not have a wedding garment on. He does not take full advantage of what God, of what the man provides for him. Now, wait a minute. He was in the wedding, but he could not fully participate in the celebration of the wedding because he was not clothed properly. Oh, did you hear what I said? He was in the wedding, but he could not fully participate in the celebration of the wedding because he was not clothed properly. And the reason why he was not clothed properly, it was not because he didn't have the money to buy the garment. It was not because he forgot his garment. It was simply because he didn't take advantage of what the host had already provided. Let me explain something to you, and then we're going to go on. Some of you here are struggling in your flesh. You're struggling in your mind. And when God began to deal with me with this, it blew me away. He said, the it factor is not just talent, ability, capability, and resources. He said, before they were born, he says, I make available to them everything they need to clothe themselves in righteousness and to overcome the enemy in every aspect of their lives. He said, the reason why they are not what you would call prospering, the reason why they are not successful, the reason why they're starting and stopping is because what I have made available to them, they have not taken it. They ask your neighbor, say, have you taken advantage of what God has given you? If you do not take advantage of the it factor of how to live holy, how to overcome your lust, your passions, your appetites, and your desires, you will be like the man at the wedding. You will be at the wedding. You will be sitting at the table of the wedding, but you will not be allowed to be a full participator of the wedding because you are not clothed. You are not clothed properly. See, some of y'all got the revelation, and it's hitting you in your heart right now. Let me say it again. The man was not allowed to be a full participator of the wedding. He was at the wedding. He was at the wedding when everybody else got at the wedding. He was actually sitting at the table at the wedding. And everybody would think that he was a partaker of the wedding. But the host of the wedding understood the requirements that he must meet in order to be a full participator of the wedding. So he comes to the man and he says, "How come you don't have a robe on? You're at the wedding. You're a guest at the wedding. You're sitting at the table. We're getting ready to get started." He said, "But you have ordinary clothes on. You don't have the garment that you need in order to be a full participator in this wedding." The it factor. God will provide you the wisdom that you need, the revelation that you need to clothe yourself in righteousness and holiness, that you will become a full participator in the kingdom of God. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. So, you can write down wisdom and revelation. So, what is God saying? When God requires you to be celibate, when God requires for you to put your flesh in subjection, when God requires that you sin not, he says, "I'm not just requiring it." He says, "I am going to give you the provision to help you meet the requirement." I've never heard of anything like this, that one will require something from you and then give you the requirement to help you meet the requirement. That is what the it factor is. He says, "I yet require holiness out of you." He said, "And for the nerve of you to remain in the same state that you are in, it looks like you are a body of Christ. It looks like you are a son or a daughter of God because you are sitting in church. But when someone takes a real good look at you, when the Holy Ghost looks at you, he finds you unclothed because you have not participated in the provision that has been given you." The it factor is going to hit you real hard. The it factor, that which God gives you. You can write this down. The provision that God gives you to help you meet the requirements of this life. The provisions that God has given you to help you meet the requirements of this life. Go with me to the book of James. See, some of you are failing because nobody can tell you nothing. You don't listen to anybody. You don't take counsel from anybody. And everybody is watching you go around in a circle. And because people don't tell you that they know you stuck, because people treat you kindly, because people don't tell you that you are have been hindered, you think you are moving. But whenever you take the provision of God, the provision of God helps you go to the next level in every area of your life. Now let me explain what I'm saying. If you want to go to the next level financially, there is a provision that God gives you to help you go to the next level. If you want to go to the next level in your body, there is a provision that God gives you to help you go to the next level. If you want to go to the next level in your relationship, there is a provision that will help you go to the next level. Now, you have a choice to take the provision or to leave the provision alone. Notice what the man did. He was pleased to be in the wedding. He was pleased to be sitting at the table, but he didn't want to take the provision, the it factor. James, the first chapter, starting at the second verse. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you," notice this, "if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and unbraid it not." And what? And what? And what? Now listen to what he's saying. He said, while you're going through the trials of life, he said, don't go through the trials of life being a know-all. Don't go through the trials of life assuming that you know how to solve your problems. He said, because all of the solving of your problems is on the inside of you, but you will not be able to solve your problems with what's on the inside of you unless you use the wisdom of God. And you don't have the wisdom of God unless you ask God for the wisdom. And so what God is actually saying is, he said, you have the answer on the inside. But now you must know how to define the answer. You must know how to recognize the answer. You must know how to utilize the answer. And the only way you can recognize and utilize the answer is that you come to me. When you come to me and ask me for wisdom, I give you what you need, and I give it to you liberally and unbraided. Now, that's the it factor. There's some problems in your life. There's some hindrances and some addictions and some characteristics in your life. And you not being what we call a man of counsel or a woman of counsel that will listen to what someone is telling you, you will miss the answer because you will not understand the answers on the inside of you, but you must ask God for the wisdom from God's wisdom so he can unlock the it factor. Does that make sense? See, let me explain what I am saying. Too many saints are going around in a circle. Too many saints are not progressing. Too many saints have no integrity, no good godly characteristics. And it is not because God has not provided it by wisdom and revelation. It is because the saint does not take what God has provided. Have you ever had the answer and did not take the answer? Have you ever went into counsel and someone has counseled you, whether it was natural or spiritual? And because they told you what to do, you didn't do what they told you to do, and you ended up in the same shape over and over again. That's what the it factor not utilized is. The it factor not utilized or not used or not embraced means that you will stay in the same situation that you are in until you understand. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it. If you don't understand how to unlock what's in you, you will lose money, relationships, you will lose everything that God has for you. You will not be able to progress. And see, some of you think that you are progressing because you have more than you had 2 years ago. Well, you worked harder. Some of you think you are progressing because you got a car and you had a bike 2 years ago. No. Progress means this. I am able to solve my problems with what God has provided me with. And sometimes when God begins to provide you with things, he does not just provide it just to you. He provides it to you through someone else. And if you are not able to listen to anybody else, then you blow your whole life. You blow the game. Now, let me say this. If I have $1 million, and $1 million is hid in my basement, and $1 million is hid in my basement because God hid it in my basement, and God tells me, I have the answer to your money problems, but you must come to me and ask me how to solve it. And I never go to God to ask God how to solve my money problems. Am I stupid or what? Am I rebellious or what? Am I disobedient or what? But the last question is this. What belongs to me will never become mine because I will never go to God and ask him what he has provided for me. My question is, do you really know who you are? Do you really understand who you are? Do you really understand what you are and what you have called to be and do? Or have you taken for granted your life and have you taken for granted everybody around you and now you're stuck? Ask your neighbor, are you stuck? Go with me, the book of Exodus. My apologies again. I'm thinking that we had ran the fumes smell out. But if you would bear, because believe me, the devil does not want to hear you to hear this message, but you better hear this one. Exodus, the second chapter, the 11th through the 15th verse. But before I read it, I need you to hear this. The people that have it and know that they have it, listen to me, will usually initiate what is needed to use it in the lives of others. Listen to what I'm saying. The people that have it and know that they have it will usually initiate it in the lives of others when they see that it is needed to be initiated. So what am I saying? When you have something on the inside of you and you see someone that needs what you have on the inside of you, what happens is this. What's on the inside of you begins to stir. It begins to become aroused, because now what you have, which is it, someone else needs it. Go to Exodus. Exodus, the second chapter, the 11th through the 15th verse. And before I read it, you can write this down. You cannot use it before it's time. You cannot use it unless you have effectively matured it. You have effectively learned how to use it. You can have it and not effectively nurture it and mature it, which means that it is nothing because you have not nurtured it. It cannot be used, write this down, before it's time. And if you use what you have before you have nurtured it, if you use what you have before you have matured it, it will turn around and destroy you and others that you come in contact with. Let me break it down to you. You got the gift of prophecy, and you prophesying to everybody, and your life is full of hell. What God gave you gonna destroy you and anybody you come in contact with. Hello, somebody. Because you have not effectively used it and matured it to the point that God can use you. Hello? Huh? So, everything that God puts in you, you gotta nurture it. You gotta mature it. You can't be lazy and lackadaisical just because you anointed and know the word. Because if you don't use it effectively, you're going to destroy somebody. But before you destroy them, you're going to destroy you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, he went out as his brethren, and he looked on those burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Egyptian, a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strolled together. And he said, What did he do wrong? Wherefore smitest thou, fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intended thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptians? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now let me explain something to you. Moses is raised in the king's palace. He is actually a prince. He steps outside, but he's an Egyptian. And he sees the Egyptians, he's an Israelite. He sees the Egyptians misusing the Israelites. Inside Moses is a gift of delivery. Inside Moses is a gift of leadership. Inside Moses is gifts and talents and abilities and capabilities and equipness, all right, that God has given Moses to free the Jews from the Egyptians. But Moses wasn't ready for it. Moses hadn't matured it. Moses hadn't used the gift over and over again. Moses hadn't nurtured the gift. But when Moses saw injustice, what was on the inside of him, it was stirred. And it was stirred to the point that Moses killed the Egyptian thinking that he had solved the problem. Listen to me. The it on the inside of you will solve the problems on the outside of you. But if you don't use it in a timely fashion, and if you don't use it in a mature fashion, and if you don't use it when you have nurtured it, the gift on the inside of you will destroy what's on the outside of you, and you will be judged. Now listen to this. He goes to the wilderness for 40 years. He has to leave Pharaoh's house. He leaves Pharaoh's house, and in the 40 years that he's with the sheep and whatever he's doing, God shows him how to use it. God got to show you how to use what he's given you. God has to show you how to mature what he's given you. God has to provide you with wisdom and revelation. He has to guide you to the people that he has provided for you in your life to help you with the twists and turns of your life. And if you don't do what God has told you to do, then you destroy someone. 40 years later, Moses uses it to deliver millions of people. But 40 years before, he uses it to deliver one man. Hear me. Listen to me real, real, real good. Because some of you are stumbling over what God has given you. You're mad because God has not used what he has put on the inside of you. You got an attitude talking about, I got just as much as they got. No, you don't, because you have not bothered to use it. You've been too lazy to mature it. You've been too lackadaisical to take what God has given you to the next level. You have not sharpened your gift, therefore God will not use your gift. Moses had the right problem, but the wrong method. Does that make sense? The right problem, but the wrong method. And the reason why he had the wrong method is because that which was on the inside of him was the right method, but it was not time for Moses to use what God has given him. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it. Let me write this. You can write this down. He used it before his time. He was a deliverer, he was a leader, he was a man of justice. He was called to lead them. It was on the inside of him. It was on the inside of him. Everything you need, everything you want, everything the solving of every problem that you will be faced with is on the inside of you. It's never on the outside of you. It's never with a friend. The friend may have it in them. Hello? To solve the problem in you. But when you're looking at the friend and saying the friend will solve it, you're going to stumble. It's not the friend. It's not the hookup. It's, hello, somebody. It's always the it in somebody else that God will. Somebody say it. You hear me? When God puts it in you and it is confronted with a problem that it can solve, listen to me real good. I can't stand. Now, I don't want you to take this backwards. I can't stand laziness. I hate it. I can look at a person and tell they're lazy. I hate it. Now, I didn't say I hate the person. I say I hate that. So that's it in me. Did you hear what I said? When you have it, and it can solve it, and you are confronted with what you can solve, you are stirred, number one. You write it down. It ignites what's in you, number two. It aggravates what's in you, number three. And it puts what's in you at attention. When what's going on the outside stirs what's going on the inside, that means that you have the solution to what's going on the outside. And it is stirred. It is aggravated. It is ignited. It comes to attention. Because what's going on the inside says, I can solve that. can perfect that. I can make money with that. I can take that to another. That's your it being stirred. That's, hello? Have you ever run up on a person that was just like you? Hello? And they aggravated you. Huh? Come on, raise your hand. That's it being stirred by it. Hello? You got the same gift. You got the same talent, the same ability. You ain't got the same mama, and you're walking alike. And you're talking alike. And it is aggravated by the it in that person. Have you ever walked up on a person and you knew you had it to solve what that person needed? And while they're talking to you, you're stirred. While they're talking to you, you're ignited. While they're talking to you, you're aggravated. While they're talking to you, your gift is at attention. Because you know you got what it takes to help them get to the next level. That's what it is. But let me tell you something. So many of you are letting your friends and your families die and fall by the wayside. You got it in you to solve their problems. It in you to keep them living. It in you to keep them healed. But you're too lazy. Hear me when I say it. To nurture and mature the it in you to help somebody else. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Verse 15. Let me go back to the 11th verse. Look at this. Verse 14. Verse 13. No, verse 12. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and did what? He looks at the problem. The Egyptian is beating the Jews. He has watched the Egyptians beat the Jews for 40 years. It is stirred in him now. He's a grown man now. He was born and raised as an Egyptian, but he is an Israelite. He's a Jew, but that did not stop what God put in him. So now he looks at the problem and he's stirred and he wants to solve the problem. Let me explain something to you. Some of you are half cocked. You think you can do this and this and this and this and this and this. You won't let nobody prepare you. You won't come to Bible class. The least in the house know more than you, because you think you know what's happening. The it in you says you have it. Hello? You do have it, but it does not operate properly until someone shows you how to use it effectively. That's what happened to Moses. Now watch me. He had leadership in him. He was the deliverer of Israel. He was the man to stand before Pharaoh. He had it in him before his mother met the father and the grandfather met the grandmother. But it was ineffective when he wanted to use it before time, because he had not matured it that was in him. That's what the saints do. You want to do everything naturally and spiritually before you're prepared. You got it in you, but you ain't got time to wait for anybody to structure it. And the people that God put in your life to structure it, you don't want to hear them. You want to train yourself. Let me ask you something. Have you ever known an astronaut to train himself? Have you ever known a doctor to train himself? Have you ever known a nurse or architect to train himself? What God gives you is so very important. So effective, so potent, so powerful, that if you train yourself, you're going to blow your own self up. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it. Say it again, it. Now listen to this. When it is faced with what it is supposed to be doing, notice, when it is faced with what it is supposed to be doing, hear me, when it is faced with what it's supposed to add to, deliver, discover, invent, it is stirred. Have you ever watched television or ever been in contact with something and watched it and said, I can do that? and something on the inside of you just begins to bubble. Something on the inside of you just begins to get nervous. Something on the inside of you begins to ignite. You know why? It's there. And it recognizes that you can do it too. The it that God has put on the inside of you recognizes you got what they got. You can invent this too. You can discover this too. But until you ask God for wisdom and ask God how to develop what he has put in you, it that he has put in you will never bring you a profit, because it that he has put in you has never been developed. How many of you want a doctor to work on you that has 6 months of medical school? How many of you want to go into surgery with a doctor that cannot hear sound counsel? How many of you want a doctor to diagnose your problem and he got $100 million of his own? Woo. See, we think because we're in the body of Christ that we don't have to practice, we don't have to nurture, we don't have to become effective, we don't have to be mature, we don't have to bring everything that God has given us naturally and spiritually to excellence. We want to have, do, throw stuff together, run in, run out, and expect to be recognized. It don't happen that way. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Write this down. What God puts in you, listen to this, and I want you to put down the word precise. It's so precise. It's so equipped. It is so designed for others to reap from what God has put in you, that it will actually leap. It will leap in you when it is faced with a problem, when it is faced with an opportunity, when it is faced with what you need. It leaps in you. Have you ever had anything leap in you? Let me explain what I'm saying. You've seen these trucks that say, got junk. Have you ever seen the trucks in the suburbs that say, got junk? It's big blue trucks that say, got junk. When I first seen these trucks years ago, maybe 5 years ago, something leaked in me. I said, oh my God, whoever got this idea gotta be a genius. Watching television the other night, they gave this man life history. He was a high school dropout. He said he was on a break at McDonald's drive-thru. Ahead of him was a junk truck. He said when he saw the junk truck, he said something leaked in him. He said, I can do that. He said, I'm going to take the $1,000 that I got in the bank. He said, I'm going to buy me a truck. He said, and I'm going to put junk on it. I'm going to make more money than what I need, than what I'm working on the job. He took $1,000, bought a truck, put on that got junk. He said it started off slow. Before he knew it, he was a multi-millionaire, not a college education, not a high school education. Why? What was in him leaped when he saw what he should be doing, and he began to act on what he saw he should be doing, and he just didn't jump out there. He took it one step at a time. He mastered it one step at a time. He matured it one step at a time. While I'm watching this, I'm looking. He said he started off with just a phone. He got junk trucks all over America, hear me, getting ready to go globally, but he recognized the leap in him. He recognized the ignition in him. He recognized the stirring in him. He recognized, I'm in a spot and I need to go forward. I can't keep doing this. I was blown away because I said, what genius. This is a genius idea. And come to find out, the man ain't even had a high school education. I'm sitting at a stop 3 weeks ago, and this big truck pulls next to me. And I read the writing on the truck. Now, I had been asking God. I said, God, I need another business to add to this business. I said, because I need to be able to do some other things. And you know, lawn care is good. Lawn care brings in a whole lot of money. Trucks, dump truck, whatever. And I look and I read this, college hunks hauling junk. My spirit started leaping. And I'm looking for the hunk. I'm trying to see, he got to be good looking or something. He wasn't good looking. Just a Caucasian boy, big, hauling junk. College hunks hauling junk. The first thing that was in my mind is, oh, now somebody has gotten this idea of got junk. I didn't know I was gonna see the program. The man on the program that owned Got Junk said this. He said, we are the initiators of this particular business. He said, this is a virgin business. So I'm at the light, college hunks hauling junk. When I pull off, God said, we haul. I said, what? He said, we haul. I said, what? He said, we haul junk. He said, buy you some old dump trucks and haul some junk that can add to your business. Sometimes the it in somebody else can stir the it in you if you come down off your high horse and your spirit of pride and let somebody guide you to the next level. Most people remain the same because they don't want to hear. Somebody say, hear. Somebody say, when God spoke to me and told me lawn care and gave me in his name, and we trademark in his name, I say, lawn care? God, I don't even want to be on the lawn. I like outside, you know, like laying on the beach, laying in the park. But he wasn't talking about me doing it. He said, lawn care. When we went into lawn care years ago, my husband laughed because I started out with one man, one small lawnmower, and I had a Cadillac so it couldn't go in my car. I put the lawnmower in his car. Okay? That's been 8 years ago, whatever. And my first employee, he made, what was it, maybe $700 a week. I paid him three, or 800, I paid him three, I took five. It kept going. The next year, I'm thinking, I said, well, I need a van. So I get a van. and I had two men. Now the two men are making $2,000 a week. My husband's still laughing. Him and his buddy, they laughing. The next, I had another, to get another van. And he asked me, he said, how much you making? He said, I'm going to quit concrete. I'm going to quit concrete. But wait a minute. I'm not using three trucks now because of the economy, all kind of things. Lawn care, and I'm not going to tell you how much, brought in way more in a two-month period than most people make in a year with a good job. I didn't recognize the it in it, but I'm obedient. So what do? I started talking to people about lawn care. I started listening to people about lawn care, and lawn care started increasing. When my brother Fred, he said, well, I said, you need to get into lawn care. I said, if you do it correctly, you'll make $6,000-$7,000 a week easily within 3 years. He gets into lawn care. Let me explain something to you. When people have it, and it has been given to them by God, they want everybody to have it. You can tell when somebody ain't got it because they don't want you to know what they're doing. They hiding what they're doing. Because see, it is given to you by God so you can bless somebody else with what it God has given you so they can get it to bless. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Somebody say it. When you act too soon, it will not be productive. When you don't work it, somebody say, work it. Work it. Say it again. Work it. Work it. Work it. Work it. I passed out, I believe I passed out millions of flyers. I think the first 5 years, the whole year, we would pass out flyers. I mean, daily. All my grandkids are flyer pass outs. For sure. Now we got, I still pass out flyers. Got plenty of business. I use Sister Terry. So you know why? Because let me tell you something. When it is in you, you got to constantly work what God has given you to bring what God has given you to another level. And if you cannot bring what God has given you to another level, you better hear what I am saying. Hear me real good. If you cannot bring what God has given you to another level, you are like the man at the wedding party that has not taken advantage of the provision that God has given you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Don't touch it except you want to work it. Don't handle it except you're going to do something with it. It is so powerful that it will supply profitability, productivity, and availability to people all around you. Because when God begins to give you something, he does not just give it to you for you. He gives it to you for your family, for your children and your children's children. He gives it to you for your neighbors. He gives it to you for anybody that needs what. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Now, what was in Moses was not prepared. So write this down. Moses had the wrong answer to the right problem. Have you ever had the wrong answer to the right problem? Hello? Have you ever go to Jeremiah, the first chapter? Are y'all learning something? Moses had the wrong answer to the right problem. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Let me tell you something. When you got the wrong answer, that means you have not gone to God to get the wisdom of how to do what you're supposed to do. You know the problem, but you got the wrong answer. You know what you faced, but you got the wrong answer. You know the circumstance and the situation, but you got the wrong answer. He said, if anybody lack wisdom, let them ask of God that give it liberally and unbraid it not. He said, you need to know something. He said, it's already in you. He said, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to hold it. I'm going to lock it up. I'm going to take the key. And if you want to know what's already in you, you got to come into my presence and ask me. And when you come into my presence and ask me, I will give you the wisdom to unlock what's already in you, and I will give it to you liberally and unbraid it not. Jeremiah, the first chapter. I'm going to show you something. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Before I formed thee, the first chapter, the fourth verse. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. For the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, wait a minute. He said, notice this. I need you to get this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Or I equipped thee. Or I gave thee talent, ability, capability, and resources and giftings. Before thou comest forth out of thy mother's womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee, or I gave you this assignment. Let me say this. This is the mentality of the saints. And it is a mentality that is sickening. The reason why the world does not want to be bothered with the church is because when they look at the church, they see mediocrity. They see half doing. When they look at the church, they don't see perfection. They don't see maturity. They don't see the church bringing what God has given them to maturity. And so the world looks at the church as a poor, ignorant entity that cannot, one, will not, two, bring their gifts to perfection. And let me say it again. I want you to hear this. The reason why the world does not respect the church is because when the world looks at the church, they see imperfections, which is everywhere. They see immaturity. They see a lack of commitment. Everything that they're touching, they cannot bring it to excellence. They have doing. So when the world looks at the church, the world has no respect for the church because the world brings everything they have to perfection. Hello? The world matures everything they have. The world takes their corporations from level to level. The world takes a company from a $1,000 company to a $1 billion company, and they don't stop until they bring that company into what they want that company to be. When they look at the church, they see the church poor and wanting. They see the church needy. They see the church always looking for help. They can look at the church. They can look at the workers that they have on their jobs. See, some of y'all should never tell anybody you saved on a job. You shouldn't go to the world with your lazy self. Hello, and work on a job talking about who come on a side. Let me lay hands on you, boss. Hello, and have do your job. Hello, Because the world is looking at you, and the world knows you got it. The world can smell it. But the world has no respect for you, because the world smells it, know you got it, but also know you too lazy to perfect what you got. Hello? Anytime the church has to go to the corporation, listen to this. When the church has to go to the corporation, John Maxwell, he's a leader of corporations. But John Maxwell is a saved man. You know how he got into the corporations, talking to the CEOs and the CFOs? You know how he did it? He got in there and he left his Bible behind. And he took Bible principles and he turned it, and he fed them Bible principles without them knowing that it was Bible principles. And when he made a real good name for himself, then he takes off his cover and says, aha, I'm the church, born of God, a son of God. I got it, and I came to give you it. And you didn't even know I was saved. He had to do that because the world is looking for excellence. The world is looking for perfect. Wait a minute. If the world is looking for excellence, if the world is looking for perfection, that must mean that God is looking for. That must mean that God is looking for. Hello, somebody? Because remember, let's go back to the man at the wedding. The man at the wedding was invited to the wedding. He was a semi-participator of the wedding. But when the host began to inspect everybody at the wedding, he began to see that this one man had not taken advantage of the garment that he had for the wedding. And so that man got kicked out of the... He had it, but he didn't use it. And clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah begins to argue about why he cannot become a prophet to the nation. I want you to hear this.
God may be calling.
God may be calling you naturally. God may be calling you spiritually. God may be calling you financially. And most of you, when God calls you to do something, you give God every reason why you cannot complete it, why you cannot perform it, why you cannot answer the call. You start talking to God like, you know, God, I got to go to work. I knew that before I called you. You know, God, I ain't got time to be trained in the church because I work long hours. I knew that you work long hours before I called you. Well, you know, God, I got a family. He said, I knew all of that. See, Jeremiah told God, oh, God, don't you know I'm a child? Then God answers Jeremiah. He said, don't tell me you're a child. He said, I put it in you before you came out your mother's womb. So I know what you have in you. I know what you are capable of doing. So don't you dare lie. Don't you dare lie. Don't you dare lie. And say that you cannot do, you cannot accomplish, you cannot achieve what I called you to do, accomplish and achieve. The only reason why you don't want to use it is because you're too lazy to use it, and you think that I'm going to believe the excuse. Ask your neighbor, what are you doing with the it that God has given you? Now, you write this down. Moses' main destiny was to be a deliverer of the people. Write down main destiny. It took Moses 40 years in the wilderness of revelation and wisdom before he became equipped with how to do what God had called him to do. But that didn't mean that Moses didn't have it. That didn't mean that it wasn't in Moses. And that did not mean that Moses didn't know he had it. But what it meant was that God was not going to use it until it was time for it to be used, because God does not use you half-cocked, untrained, undisciplined, and uncommitted. Hello, write this down. The revelation and timing of it in you will sometimes be uncovered before it's time to use it. What does that mean? That means that you will spot your it and you will try to use it before it's time to use it. Number two, many times it is hidden in you until it's time to use it. God may know the type of person that you are, and he will hide what he has put in you until it's time for you to use what he put in you, because he knows if he lets you know what's in you, you will use it before the time. Number three, some folk know that they have it from day one. Write down day one. But they are never allowed to use it because they don't never perfect what God gave them. And so God just had him sitting. He's an engineer, but he's too lazy to do what he's supposed to do, so he's sitting. Hello? He has medical ability and talent, but he's too lazy to use what God has provided for him, so he's sitting. He's in the ministry. He got all kind of ministerial gifts and talents and abilities. He got 100 gifts, but God ain't never gonna use you, because you're too lazy to allow the people around you to bring out of you what's in you. You're sitting. Hello? Sitting is hard. Because when you sit, you start getting mean. You start getting angry. You start blaming everybody because you're sitting. Not understanding that God is no respecter of persons. If John Doe graduated from architectural school and his IQ was 120 and your IQ was 130, somebody say it. All right, some people have it and don't have a clue how to use it because they don't want to listen to anybody. How many of you can't hardly listen to nobody? Raise your hand. Come on. It's more than y'all that. I know who you are. Hello? Don't want to hear nothing. You know, let me say this. As a pastor, it has gotten to my life that when I call somebody up, God has showed me how to minister to people. I don't just say, hello, this is Pastor Blossom, I call to minister to you. Now I got to sneak to minister to you. I gotta minister to you undercover. I can't come as your pastor. Hello? I gotta come as a friend. Because if I come as your pastor, sometimes I gotta come as your equal. Even though I know you're not my equal, I gotta minister to you as an equal, because you think you got it. You don't know how to use it, and you won't accept anybody that God has put in your life to uncover it. So I gotta use all kind of disguises. I gotta be your sister, your mother, your friend, your equal, your confidant. I gotta do anything and everything to get you to listen. Because I know that if you don't listen, it ain't never gonna be used. And you're gonna die unhappy. And you're gonna die a grouch box. And you're gonna die critical. Because you have never allowed anybody to effectively counsel you. It comes out of counsel. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in the offices of preachers and teachers and business people and friends and foes just to find out what they know. I can't tell you how many times I've listened just to find out one thing that I needed to hear. I can't tell you how many times that while somebody was counseling me, it was breaking my heart, but I'm listening to it because I needed to go to the next level. I needed to ignite what's in me. I needed. Somebody say it. Say it again. Then you have others that know they have it, and you have not a clue that you see. You got. Let me say this. Sometimes you got people that have it, and they don't even know that they got it. Other people know you got it, and they're gonna use you. I'm touching on some stuff, ain't I? I'm teaching you some stuff. Let me say it again. You got people that know you're going somewhere, can smell it. Hello? Let me put it to you this way. The basketball player looked like a cookie monster. I mean, he ugly as all outdoors. But he leading the pack on his college team. All the scouts are looking at him. The NBA is looking at him. He couldn't get a girlfriend in high school. Nobody talked to him in high school. Now he got 20 women following him. You know what? They smell it. He don't even know he got it. They know. Some of you, people are around you because you got it. You don't understand you got it. And in their warped mind, they think they can get what you got by hanging out with you. Clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Then you have other people, and I'm getting ready to close, that are so smooth. Somebody say smooth. They use it for other purposes. They use it for their own purposes. Let's talk about David and Bathsheba. David was a king. David was gifted. When they went to look for a musician, they got David. David was smooth. When David got to be king, listen to this real good. He spotted this woman bathing naked. He wanted the woman. He got the woman, had sex with her, got her pregnant. Now he got to cover his mess. The it in him, the personality that God gives you to lead. Does that make sense? The personality that God gives you to persuade other people. That's the it in you. The personality that God gives you that people believe you. That's the it in you. And instead of him using the it in him for righteous purposes, he begins to use the it in him for selfish purposes. He sleeps with Bathsheba, gets her pregnant, then he tries to con her husband into sleeping with her. He couldn't con her husband, and he tells his general to have the husband killed. It was the it in him. See, some of you are so talented, but you are using your talent the wrong way, and it's going to kill you. Amnon was like that. Jonadab. Amnon wanted to sleep with his sister. He had a friend by the name of Jonadab. Jonadab told Amnon, if you want to sleep with your sister, play like you're sick and then have your sister come and then sleep with her. Amnon only wanted to hear how to subdue his sister. Some of you, the it in you was given to you by God. I need you to hear this. And you have perverted it to such an extent that it will not respond to righteousness. It only responds to perversion and gain and con and getting something that does not belong to you. When Amnon slept with his sister, his brother had him killed. His sister was ruined forever. And the man that had it and showed him how to do it was eventually killed. Because when you use it unlawfully, it will destroy you. Stand to your feet. It is a powerful thing. It can make you, it can break you, it can destroy you. But if you use it unlawfully, it can destroy everybody around you. I was told a story recently about a man that was gay. And he said this. He said, I'm not gay by my own choice. He said, when I was a child, my older cousins would make me perform oral sex on them. And that's how I entered into that particular lifestyle. The older cousin had the power of persuasion. And he used it to subdue this child. The older cousin has gone on, but the child is gay and going through all kinds of things. And when I begin to question God about it, I said, wait a minute. It looks like this man, he's a man now, has gone on. And this man is tormented. He said, oh, it looks like that. He said, but I want you to watch what's going to happen to his daughters and his sons. Because he destroyed that man and his life. He said, his life is going to be destroyed. Wait. The man that was a child that was made to perform oral sex on the older cousin, his daddy had the power of persuasion. And he raped and molested the women in his family. And that dad is dead. But his son is gay. And all of it comes by it. It is powerful. It'll judge you. It will promote you. It will make you rich, and it can make you poor. It will sustain your marriage, or it will destroy your marriage. It used properly will keep your ministry intact, but it used improperly, not brought to maturity, will tear up your ministry. It is something else. It is potent. It is powerful. It is enticing. It is suggestive. How would I say it? It will beckon you and it will push you away. It will leave a sweet taste in your mouth and it will leave a sour taste in your mouth. It will bind up your broken heart. But used incorrectly, it will break your heart. So, in conclusion, this, and I can hear somebody say it, she gave too many altar calls. The Lord said, told me, he said, you give as many altar calls as I give you. He said, you don't let nobody talk to you about altar calls. He said, because the one that's talking about the altar calls, they need to be at the altar themselves. Hello, somebody. So this is not really about it. This is how you handled it. Let's go back to the man at the wedding. At the end, when he threw the man in hell, he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Listen to this. I said, God.